Okay, well, welcome to the first episode of Single Mommy Fabulous, the podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about parenting in the age of COVID. It's the hottest topic, I think, at this moment is what do we do? First, we're going to talk a little bit about our first initial journey with distance learning, because that was pretty much our kids got out of school on a Thursday or a Friday, and some of us were lucky enough to have some time off because of spring break, and others of us were thrust into, here's a packet, get it done. So just talk a little bit more about what your journey was like, Adrian. I know that you were here in California, but you guys left around April.
Yeah, so basically kind of how it went down when the, the pandemic first kind of started, we lived in Contra Costa County, so in Richmond, and Kalia's school shut down before the county basically gave a recommendation to shut down. So we showed up at school Friday, March 13th, with administrators and teachers saying, hey, you got to come back at 12 to come get your kid. We're shutting down. And we're like, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks for the notice. But then I understand, you know, there wasn't time to give notice. So that was a very hectic day. By the time we came back, they were saying, clean out the desk because we don't know when or if we'll reopen. And so, which was heartbreaking because we were getting ready to move and Kalia did not have a chance to say goodbye to her friends because half of them were not at school that day. So that was her last day of formal school. And then right away, Monday, started distance learning, and it was a train wreck at first on all ends. You know, the poor teachers, you know, they did the best that they could. It definitely got better as time went on, but those first 2 weeks were really rough, and then it was spring break. And then it was rough for us because Kalia is not very motivated, and her attention span is extremely short. So trying to keep her on task while I'm working was very difficult, to say the least, almost impossible. And then there was a period of time because of the move, we moved April 4th. That was a Saturday right before spring break started. You know, we get to Georgia and find out that she's basically been disenrolled.
What?
Yeah. I had told the, the office administrator that we were moving, and she said, okay, well, you don't really need to do anything. Just have the new school contact us. And I said, okay, cool. So, you know, Kalia tried to make up some work during spring break and to find out that she has no access to any of her classrooms. And all of this, come to find out, they disenrolled her.
Wow.
But then she had to be re-enrolled to finish off the school. I mean, it just was a mess. And overall, I think the teachers did the best that they could. I think that they tried to have Zoom meetings. It was just hard because of the time difference. And we were just, you know, for so long, we just didn't know what time it was because we couldn't get used to the time difference. It was a challenge. It was a challenge.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's a lot. Let's not just talk about the fact that there's a pandemic going on. I'm just going to get up and I'm going to move to another state across the country and still with the 3-hour time difference, try to work on school. That sounds like a plan that has no chance of failing at all.
Exactly. That was my mindset, you know?
Yeah.
win, right?
Right. Oh my God, that's great. Well, I guess for us, I was fortunate because Olivia's in private school, so they kind of get to make their own rules all the time anyway. So the Thursday, I think, was it the 12th or 13th? Anyway, mm-hmm. that night they kind of emailed us and said, hey, we're going to close the school because we're close to spring break, and we're going to try to resume classes after spring break. So, you know, we'll send you information. Okay. So we had 1 week. The first week before spring break, they'd sent home they sent the kids home with all their books, and then they sent this extravagantly long email that I couldn't really follow. I'm like, I need a matrix with what you need me to complete. Like, I am not going to read, because I am a skimmer, I'm not going to read this whole thing. This is not reading for enjoyment. So no, I'm not going to read. I'm sorry. That's just my personality. There was that struggle, and then the struggle of setting up space for her to do her work.
Yes.
When your house is not constructed for that, yes. It was really difficult. So she ended up on her little craft table in my room for a while, because I was at the same time newly hired at a new job and like looking at my emails going, I don't know what the hell. I don't know if I'm going to go back to enforcing code. I don't know what the heck I'm going to do. So I was just kind of like having this hard time focusing myself. So I don't think that was helpful for her yeah. at all. But I think that they did their best, and that was really great. And I was really thankful that they did do what they did. And then the next, after spring break, when the kids came back, we got much shorter emails, a matrix to tell you around what time the kids should be doing what, and Google Classroom, which helped a lot because all of the assignments were there, and you know, if I needed further instructions, I could go back to the email. But just having Google Classroom and being able to go, okay, for spelling you're going to do page 180, was like life-changing and life-altering. I hear a lot of people talk about having to come home with homework packages. That would have never worked for me because I would have lost the paperwork. I was thankful to be able to upload things, although as much as I had to upload, it did start to get a little hectic there too. But I feel like given the situation and you know the constraints that the school had, they did a good job. I mean, I heard the horror stories, I've heard the great stories, and my experience was right there in the good category. It's not the best, but it was really good. Which I will never be more thankful. But my kid, horrible. She missed assignments. She lied. She did whatever she could to get on the computer and play Roblox and
yes.
So yes. You know, whatever.
We had the same issue. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
And I have to say, I agree about Google Classrooms. I thought that was genius. You know, to just have it all, and her teachers would post everything around like 8 a.m, and she had until 4 p.m. in the afternoon to finish it. And half the time she didn't, but that's a whole nother show. But yeah, you know, but just to have it all there, and you know, so I could go back and check, you know, when she tells me, yeah, I did everything. Then I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, well, let's take a look and see right. what you actually did. Oh, you still have 4 assignments left. Let's get those done, shall we? You know, type of thing. It just was great. It's such a good thing. I love that.
Yeah, for sure. So that's the takeaway for all educators. Google Classroom works for your parents. So
yes,
keep it up. That's great. I guess also now with everything changing, there were job changes, especially for me, actually job loss. I know that you were lucky you got to take your job with you, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I said, I had just started a new job, was really into it. It allowed me to spend 50% of my time in the office and 50% out in the field. I was learning to do inspections. I was gaining this new knowledge. And then COVID hits. And, you know, the decision was made to just kind of stop enforcement because we weren't really letting people go outside. And, you know, so we just kind of stopped there. So I had about 2 months of sitting at home waiting to figure out what was going to go on. And then I get the dreaded, we'll call you on payday, or the end of the pay period, and let's check in. Yeah, let's check it. You're going to get rid of me. And, you know, I knew, and still the job loss was a lot more devastating to my mental health than I thought it would be. Even though I was completely prepared to lose my job, I just did not do well with that. I was thankful that unemployment was having this pandemic disaster fund, and there was going to be this extra $600 coming from the federal government. It kept my income at the same level for the most part. So I was thankful for that. But as we transition and that goes away, and I also do not get qualify anymore because I now work for, drumroll, unemployment. So
list of events.
So yes. And of course that, and that came with a large loss of income, which I'm dealing with, and loss of benefits and loss. I mean, I have to wait 6 months for benefits. And so it's all just overwhelming. I have to say, I can't imagine people who are now facing that the pandemic insurance ends. When is that? I think it's July 25th. And then they're stuck with whatever they get. And I know here in California, people can't go without that extra $600 because the maximum benefit in this state is $450, and you're not getting anywhere $450 a week. There's, you're not even going to pay half your rent. You're there, and so if you have no savings, no nothing, there is a huge, I don't even know what these people are doing. I can't even imagine. But did you have anything to add about that? Like just jobs in general or?
Well, I think, you know, for our situation, I was fortunate enough to keep my job, and work from home, which I'm doing permanently now. And I was fortunate enough that my boss, you know, in the beginning, made a commitment to us. That he was going to do whatever he could to keep us all. We did end up losing one employee, but he was kind of like on his way to being let go anyway, about some other stuff. And I do think that they took this opportunity to be able to blame it on the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because we all really liked him and none of us wanted him to go, but he just was not performing and we were losing clients because of him and all that kind of stuff. So so I really think that they used this as an opportunity to kind of sack him. But but yeah, I think my situation is rare. And I'm very grateful. But I feel terrible, you know, for people that are just trying to survive, you know, and it's, you know, what do you do? I was talking to, you know, we've been doing DoorDash a lot because we don't really want to go outside, and just talking to one of the DoorDash drivers, you know, and she's just like, this is all I can really do. And it's not enough.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, like that's terrible. And then yeah. To know that, you know, the government just doesn't really have your back in this kind of situation. You know, when they could have done things in the beginning to kind of mitigate this damage, it's just highly frustrating.
They could have had us a little more prepared. I do think that that opportunity was missed. I think that for me, I knew about the coronavirus late last year before most Americans were paying attention, because I was preparing to go to my best friend's wedding in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And it was time for me to start looking at tickets, because you have to have, you know, it takes about 6 months and you need the visa and you need this and that and all that. And I'm like, coronavirus, oh my God, this sounds disgustingly bad, you know, like, and I'm like, okay. So I, you know, even at that moment in November, when I said to her, you know, look, I've been watching this and it, now it's spreading to other parts of Asia. I don't think I can come. And she understood, based on my health issues. She was like, you know what, your life first, we'll get together, you can come later, whatever. But I think that was really tough for me to say, no, I'm just not willing to get on a plane. And knowing how I felt at that moment about going there and knowing they had it, and then knowing that there could have been things done to keep it from maybe spreading here. Like, we could have said, hey, you know, no flights from Asia, no, or whatever. I'm not an expert, but, or just told people, hey, start sewing face masks. You know, I mean, anything would have been better than the nothing that we were faced with, the challenges.
I agree. And I think California, and of course I'm biased.
Yeah, well.
Because that is my home and I love California. but I think, you know, the governor was a little more proactive, even though not much kind of happened, but I think he was at least more proactive in, hey guys, we got a situation, not really sure what it's about, but just so you know, this is kind of what's out there, you know. And I think, you know, California, because even talking to people around here, you know, people in Georgia didn't really find out until March. From what I can gather, people didn't find out until, but the governor here is very, you know, he's kind of one of those people that's like, well, if it's not affecting me, I'm not gonna deal.
Yeah.
Type of, you know. And I'm just like, whoa, I'm like, well, we knew like the middle of February, you know, something was coming, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think California did an okay job.
Yeah.
At least warning us.
Yeah. I think the problem with it all was that we're such a populous state. For California, the issue of this is just the sheer number of humans in this state, and not having, although we have rural areas, that is not where people live. They live on the coast and they're densely populated. And so it makes it easy. It makes it easy to travel, you know. And if one of us leaves this area with anything, we're taking it with us and it goes everywhere. So, love you, California. So let's talk a little bit about our kids' mental health, because one of the things that I noticed about my daughter, especially, is her attitude sucks. And I think there's a direct correlation between the rapid change of her lifestyle, and just worries. You know, it's as parents, we sometimes tend to try to shield our kids from everything rather than being honest.
Yes, ma'am.
In a age-appropriate way. I mean, whether you are a person who thinks this is not that bad and da 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 da, or you're the person who your feeling is, I don't want you outside, I don't want you to touch another human, I don't want, but you need to, for their own understanding, I feel it give them something, because that this I think there were some moments when my daughter was really feeling some depressed feelings at the beginning of this pandemic, because the shelter in place that was very strict, where you really weren't supposed to even go out of your house unless you were exercising, and I don't exercise, so we weren't going anywhere. We don't have a backyard that's nice enough to go sit in. It's right by a busy road. Sitting in the backyard is sort of torture. You know, her connection to her world was missing. And I you know, the way that I structured it or attempted to combat that was, at the beginning of the pandemic, I was holding Zoom meetings for the kids on Saturday. I have let her really contact her friends whenever she wants. I mean, there aren't that many restrictions on it, which can be good and bad, because then there's the nightly fight about getting off the iPad with the other kid whose parents don't care. You know, they're up playing Roblox at like 11:30, and the other parent's like, yay! And I'm like, yay! But wait a minute. Maybe we need to go to bed because we have to go to the store tomorrow, or we have to, you know, meet up with family, or whatever is going to happen that next day, or the fact that your homework never got done. It's been I think my biggest challenge is making sure she was okay and explaining things on her level so that it's not like, don't go outside, you're gonna die, or and you're never gonna see your friends again.
Right.
But you know, I mean, really, because in my head some of that goes on, but I don't want her to hear that. That's just my focus, trying to make sure she has fun and still lives life. And I see that smile, you know?
Yeah. And that's tough, you know, because, you know, like you said, like the world as they know it or knew it is pretty much gone. Mm-hmm. And, I know for us, when we got to Georgia, we couldn't move into our apartment yet because I had to wait until I was able to set up the Wi-Fi, you know. So we were, you know, at my in-law's house for about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, she was afraid of my mom getting sick. She was afraid that I was going to get sick. She was afraid to get sick. She has asthma, and she heard on the news that people with respiratory problems kind of get, and like other health issues, get the worst of it. She was afraid about that. And then on top of that, the anxiety of not having her friends, of not being at school, you know, being in a new place.
Yeah.
And not being able to go outside. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. It was the biggest compound issue ever.
Right. So it was like, oh my gosh. So she basically, like that first 2 weeks, she basically slept.
Oh, wow.
A lot. And it was really hard to get her to do any work or to do anything, really. She just was sleep, you know. And then we finally moved into our place, you know, that was tough because we didn't have furniture. It just was like, it was insane. And so, you know, trying to keep her, like, really the only thing stable in our lives was my job until like the middle of May. Like, we just had no stability, and she was struggling. Mm-hmm. She was really struggling, you know, and now, you know, she's fine for the most part. You know, we're able to go to the park. We're able to go, you know, they opened up the pool here, so we're able to go swimming. We're able to, you know, we go to the store, and that's like our family fun time, going to the Publix down the street.
All I want to know is, does your Publix do double coupons, and are you going to become an extreme couponer?
I do not think that they do double coupons at this one.
Well, then it's no worries about
that. Yeah, and I will not become an extreme couponer. You know, I just... You know, I watch the show sometimes, and it scares me. I have to be honest.
A little bit.
Why do you need that much mustard? You don't.
Well, yeah. There's never going to be a double coupon hit life here in California, so that's not happening. Okay, so just moving into, like, returning to life and taking care of ourselves as our next topic is, I think the thing that I've been looking at closely is the idea that people want the children to return to school next year. And I don't care what anyone says, public education has been defunded for 20 some years. After I got out of high school, I feel like they stopped giving a care about these children as far as schooling goes. And it worries me a lot to think of just these children going back to school. And I was being who I am. I went to the CDC website and just wanted to read, since my child's in elementary school, just what these guidelines and what they're trying to achieve in these schools. So they want them to teach and reinforce hand washing and encourage kids to sneeze or cough into a tissue and throw the tissues in the receptacle and then wash their hands. Which we know little kids are snotty. If you don't have a wash basin in the classroom, we're losing class time.
Yeah.
So that's troubling in its own right. The cloth face covering, I've gotten so used to it that I kind of look at cloth face coverings or face coverings in general, like, no shoes, no shirt, no service. You know what I mean? Like, okay, right. And thankfully, because California instituted cloth face coverings early, Olivia's more than capable of making it to school with that. No problem. And then just having adequate supplies of hand sanitizer and soap and so forth. And that's troubling because half the time children don't even have toilet paper in the freaking bathroom. So I'm like, okay, so who, I know that now you're going to ask cash-strapped parents to come up with some more money for things that the school isn't going to be able to provide, because we're already bringing in our regular school supplies, we're bringing cleaning supplies. So what will the school supply list look like, and how many hundreds of dollars will that be this year?
Exactly.
If they actually make it back into the classroom. And then just let me get down to the actual, where did it go? Give me a second here.
That's a good point that you bring up about, the supply list that we get every year, you know, in California schools is so extensive.
Mm-hmm.
I think people don't realize, or, you know, people that don't have children, you know, maybe don't, you know, realize that or whatever. But it's like, you know, there's so much that we have to, or we're asked to supplement for the class, for the school.
Right.
You know, would we be able to? You know, people have no jobs, you know, right. How, like, what is that going to look like? Is the state right. going to give more money to the schools? Right. Will the money be evenly distributed?
Will the federal government pull funding because our schools decide? And I know that there are a couple that have decided that they're going straight to distance learning. They're not even trying the whole, let's experiment with having the kids back in the classroom.
Right.
You know.
And then are we going to pay special attention to all the schools that are underfunded, which never made sense to me. If money is coming from the government to the school districts, why the money is not shelled out evenly? I never understood that, but that's a whole nother situation.
Yeah,
I mean, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like, you right. know, if you're paying property tax and you have the school tax on there, it should go into one pot. And every district gets their cut out of the pot, which should be the same. And every school gets their cut out of that district pot, and boom, there you go. Like, anyway, that's a whole nother
episode. No, but I mean, this is all, I mean, it all comes under that same thought for me. I'm a private school mom, and plan to be as long as that's monetarily feasible. And that's because of class sizes, just sheer class sizes in California, and knowing that my daughter needs her teacher to be able to talk to her and know her name and know her handwriting and know things about her personality, that a woman or man with 40 children is not going to know at all, not going to happen. So her class sizes are always going to be 25 and under because they get to choose their enrollment. And so I her school is planning to start back in August. They've already done the CDC guidelines. They've already set up the chairs so they're 6 feet apart. They're all facing the same way. They've told us that lunches will be eaten at their desk. You know, they've told us that, you know, they will be washing their hands. We've gotten our marching orders on how many Lysol wipes we need to bring. Which, honestly, it's not excessive. But, you know, I'm not allowed on campus. I will be allowed with an appointment. My daughter has gone back to dance class. I wasn't even aware that she was wearing a face covering the entire time. So, you know, she's been dancing with face covering. She spent 6 hours a day in class for 2 weeks. So it's given me a little bit of a clue, and I'm not allowed in the dance studio. I was yesterday just to watch the recital taping, but I was not allowed into the dance studio at all during this time. You know, they did the temperature check when she came in, made sure she looked like she was healthy. She had to take off her shoes when she walked into the studio. I mean, there have been, it's such a modified change, but the change in her attitude, I have to say, sort of whatever risk I am taking in my head, whether it's real or imaginary, was slightly okay. I mean, I can't say that I'm comfortable, but I can say that I was happy to see her happy. You know, I was happy to see that she was getting to interact with someone who wasn't her mother. You know, and people that were around her age, and I don't know how much interaction they really did. It was probably more they talked while they were eating their sandwiches in their little squares. They had squared off squares, and that was probably it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. Like, she probably feels like, you know, back to normal, you know, or what she knew as normal before all of this. We're struggling with that. Kalia's new school, Hickory Flat Elementary, which I think is hilarious.
I love it.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get an appointment to finish her enrollment process, but they're letting us choose. Either you can do full-time on-campus school 5 days a week, or you can do full-time remote. And she wants to go back to school.
Yeah.
And I don't blame her, you know? And, you know, it's hard enough being here, and we really only know each other and her grandparents and one of her cousins. That's it, you know? And to go a whole nother however long of that, I don't know that she'll survive that. But at the same time,
right,
I have no idea how many other parents are going to choose to go on campus, which means I have no idea how many children are going to be there. I have no idea how many kids are going to be in her class. I have no idea how many people she'll be interacting with every day, because the school is new to us. We've never seen it. We don't know. Yeah. So, you know, if this was her old school, you know, we'd better be able to gauge, because we know, like,
yeah,
you know, she's going into the fifth grade. So in fifth grade at Mira Vista Elementary, there's only 2 fifth grade classes. So, you know, that's only like 50 kids.
Yeah.
You know that. And so, you know, okay, well, if not everybody comes, we're probably looking at 30 kids across 2 classes. You know what I mean? Like, you can plan. But since we don't know this school and we don't know this area, it's hard to tell how populated it is. You know, from the website, it looks like they only have 2 classes per grade. So I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what is the right choice. And I almost want to err on the side of her mental health,
mm-hmm,
than her physical health. Mm-hmm. But then that's scary, because then if she comes down with the virus, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know what to do.
Well, no, and I mean, that's the real fear, is like, okay, you know, a lot of the data said, and I'm going to say said, because as we've seen lately here in the U.S., a lot of children are getting infected at like camps and things. However, I don't know what is going on at those camps and what precautions they are taking. So I don't want to get into that too much, but NIH just started studying, the National Institutes of Health just started studying whether children come home with the virus and then infect family members, which is a brand new study. It only started in May, and they need 6 months to make a conclusion. So, you know, it's a very real fear, because if my daughter got sick, it could affect me negatively. I'm kind of like, I have RA, which is an overactive immune system, and I don't take anything to control the immune system, just the proteins. So I feel a little bit better about that. Meaning I feel like my immune system would just be like, oh, something other than my organs to attack. Yes, let me attack the virus. So that's how I feel about that. But I am not the only person living here. So, you know, as you have elderly family members in your household, you just kind of go, you know, I probably have a fighting chance, but I don't know about you, you know? And
yes.
So that is a deep concern to me. So just, I don't know. I don't know. I probably will just let her go to school until the first person comes down with coronavirus. Which she already had, one of her other fellow dancers did get coronavirus, but she wasn't at dance school during this time. So, you know, as this thing gets closer and closer and closer to my circle, my decision-making is different. You know, I don't feel fearful. I feel cautious. I do feel optimistic. I think there's an end coming, whether it's 6 months, 1 year, 2 years from now, I don't know. Do I think that we should go back to life where we don't live in a more conscious way, where we're not cleaning ourselves and doing things? This is basic hygiene, folks. So maybe we're going to come out of this with better hygiene skills, and that can't be bad.
That would be great.
You know what I'm saying? More deodorant, more soap, more disinfecting. Great stuff. All good things.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, yeah, it's just so, I don't know. It's just so up in the air, you know, and she's supposed to, school starts August 3rd.
Yeah.
So we have until Friday to make our decision, what we elect. Yeah. And I'm just, you know, yeah, I know she'll be in a much better mental state if she was at school.
Yeah.
I know that, you know.
It's so hard.
And the body can be healed, you know, and it's.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I'm just afraid. I guess I'm afraid that if I allow her to do distance learning and she ends up with the virus anyway,
then what
that it could end up worse because her mental state is worse.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's a very good consideration. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, at least if she's at school and she's operating at a higher frequency and she gets the virus, she'll stand a better chance. You know, and I know that probably sounds weird.
No. I mean, honestly, no, it doesn't, because I have to say, getting a job that makes me get out of the house every day, don't get me wrong, I really would like to work from home if I get the opportunity, but they kind of have like this weird split schedule. Some people are full-time at home, some people are in and out. Week to week. But I have noticed mental health wise, I'm better. Because we are social creatures and there's no denying that. But it's like balancing it, you know? Like, so I sit at my desk and as nice as I am, I don't talk to people. I'm not trying to make friends. I have sort of made friends with three people because. Two of them are in my class and one of them sits in front of me.
Always make friends, even when you don't.
So, you know, I'm naturally, and as much as I say I'm not a people person, I naturally gravitate towards people and they naturally gravitate towards me. So obviously I'm a people person, but grudgingly, I guess, because sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to be a people person today. I would like to be a grouch and I would like you to go away, please. So
I do think you're an introvert though. I think you're a very extroverted introvert.
I am, because nobody understands why I'm shy or anything. It doesn't make sense to them and they don't even see it. Like nobody ever sees the fact that I am extremely shy. Like,
I mean, I recognize it because I'm like the same way. Like, I really, really enjoyed not being bothered.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy being around people.
I don't know. It's strange.
But anyway, carry on.
Yeah. So I guess we're just going to wrap it up and just talk a little bit about our mental health and what we can do to get ourselves, you know, just to recharge and just to keep moving forward, because there are, you know, Adrian and I are very fortunate that we have these things that we have to do. But there are people who are in that stage that I was in when I lost my job and when Olivia was working at school and I wanted nothing to do with it, any of it, nothing. And so just recognizing where you're at is, I think, the first step to getting better. Recognizing that there's an issue, recognizing that there's a problem, that you don't feel like yourself, is the first step. And what, you know, we're not experts, so, you know, we can't really give that kind of advice. But Adrian did do some research for resources for all of our listeners to kind of go and check out for yourself. I would say get dressed every day, even if it's at 6 in the evening, put on some clothes. If you like makeup, do your face every once in a while. Have a Zoom call with your friends. Everybody put on some makeup, whatever. Just don't allow yourself to lose control of your mental health.
Yeah. And I think too, I think a big thing that helped me was, even if it's only for like an hour or two a day, but having some kind of a consistent schedule, you know, and it's, even if you're only doing three things in a day, you know, do those three things the same time every day. So then, you know, okay, you know, like I said that I was gonna take a walk at noon, you know, so every day at noon, you, so it gives you something to look forward to, which produces hope, you know, and it's like, if you can stay in that space a couple times a day, it really does help. It really does help. And it's small. Like our little routine was, you know, to make sure we're up at a certain time every day. Well, me, because Kalia didn't. But, you know, I made sure that I was up at a certain time every day. And, of course, my job helped with that because I still had to work and I still had to, you know, show up. But being up at a certain time of day, cooking certain times in the day, every day. You know, it's like, it gave me something to kind of plan for, to think about, you know, and then it's just like, okay, you know, we would go to the mailbox at a certain time every day.
Yeah.
You know, and then she, like little, you know, it doesn't have to be major life-changing events, but just little things, you know, washing the dishes the same time of day, whatever it is, so having some kind of a schedule that's consistent, you know, that just produces little moments of hopefulness in your day.
And also shut off the news when it starts to get to you. Just shut it off. Even Facebook, all of it. Yes. It's got to go. It's, you know, when that social cleanse time comes, let it be. Just let it go. And I did that a couple of times during these last couple of months where I just didn't open Facebook, didn't open the newspapers. I do not watch the news because it scares the crap out of me, because they don't care about you. They don't care about how you feel about the images they're showing. They don't care about the fact that the way that they report. So
their job is to instill fear in you. That's their job.
That is their job. So I have officially left broadcast news and will not ever return. I won't do it. Since 9/11, I have not watched a broadcast.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hasn't gotten any better.
No. Dude, I was like, after I saw the, you know, a plane hit the tower the 50th time, I was like, I'm done. I'm good. I don't need this anymore.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Well, it was great seeing you again and talking with you again, Adrian. We look forward to our next broadcast, which we haven't even decided what we're talking about.
We have
not. Yeah.
But we have plenty to talk about.
We do. So, yeah. So definitely, if you haven't already, become a fan of ours on Facebook, and we will see you next time.
Bye.